releasing the strap. We were born to shine.
Even when my light burns low, I could never lose my hope. I've been down this road before, now I know which way to go. You can try to drag me down, but I'll be living in the clouds. Everybody has their doubts, but you can't stop now. You just gotta
I want it like I need to breathe, yeah. Make it clear like I need to see. As a kid, mama told me sky's the limit till you hit it like King Griffey to the Memphis. Out of that, out the park, hit and run, that's my drive. Exercise, it's a vibe, been that way all my life, yeah. I shut it down when I shine with the truth, yeah. I ride with the truth, gave my life to the truth. Testify, walk on water like the Son of Man, understand I'll never drown. Take a hit and never quit. But never out. There are days that I fail, and the train's off the rail. Through the pain we prevail. Tell them you just gotta live.
Even when my life burns low, I could never lose my hope. I've been down this road before, now I know which way to go. You can try to drag me down, but I'll be living in the clouds. Everybody has, but you can't stop now. You just gotta live. You just gotta live. You just gotta live. Even when my life burns low, I could never lose my hope. Everybody has a doubt, but you can't stop now.
Until there's nothing left, lean on. We need your life, there's no one else. Ain't nobody out here more like you. And with you that broke the mold, and ain't no more like you. That's for sure. I can't drop out like the top down on the coast. Tell them watch out when I walk, I make them move. Sunday morning with my hands up, like they got the handcuffs. Searching for some answers since mama passed the test. And my sister left Seattle with a one-way ticket home. Hope she hold the chase and teaching him to speak some more. Gotta keep it going. Yeah, that's all it told me. Tell him you can make it when you know the one and only.
Burning bright beyond the fire. You were born to win, yeah, you're a fighter. Don't let your life just fade away.
What's up, y'all? This is New Cupid, and you're listening to my girl, Sade Champagne, right now on Grind Hard Radio. New Cupid!
Good evening, everyone. That was Tadashi featuring Jordan Feliz with Gotta Live. Welcome to Season 4, Episode 69 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio. Every episode is available on iTunes. Search The Sade Champagne Show, and you can download them for free. Also, my Sade Champagne YouTube channel is another place where you can listen to the show afterwards. Thanks for tuning in all around the globe. I am so thankful for everyone's support. You have been with me from the beginning. Some of you even since my days on MySpace. All the episodes of my show are available at blogtalkradio.com/grindhard_radio. I've also posted the direct link to this episode on my Twitter and Facebook pages, so you can tune in at any time. Thank you to Travis Miller for creating and producing my show's theme song, and to Scott Swish for mixing it. If this is your first time listening, I am a professional musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur. I have created, directed, and executive produced over 300 charitable and inspirational events, including my popular Power Dream Tour and my Hold On, Overcome solo tour. I love mentoring, coaching, authentically being myself, and using my platform to encourage, empower, and bring out the gold in others. Tonight, join us for a brand new Empowering Dreamers segment with Ramsey J. Jr. and a new Living with Fearless Joy segment with Rick and Melissa Joy Wood. I'll also be sharing some words of encouragement about what I've been learning and meditating on recently. I'm always booking new shows and performances. I love traveling, and if you're looking to bring me, my tours, or any of my award-winning, critically acclaimed artists, mentors, or speakers to your city or event, please email me at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. That's sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com for more details. Check out my Facebook page, Sade Champagne, to see my full schedule. Just look under events. I always have exciting and fun things going on. Lastly, thank you to everyone who's been watching, sharing, and subscribing to all my new videos and supporting all my new music. I'm constantly writing new pieces and creating new songs and going back into the recording studio soon with my music producers, The Quakes. To find out more about my musical journey and how you can be involved, check out my official website, IamSadeChampagne.com. IamSadeChampagne.com. I am live tweeting and posting on Facebook all show long, and I want to know your thoughts. Tweet me at Sade Champagne, Facebook me at Sade Champagne, Instagram I am Sade Champagne, hashtag Sade Champagne Show or GHR to join in the conversation. Shout out to everyone who you tweet me, you Facebook me, you Instagram me, you YouTube me, you email me. Your support amazes me, and I'm forever grateful unto you. Our next segment of the night is Empowering Dreamers with Ramsey J. Jr. Join entrepreneur, financial executive, strategic communication consultant, international motivational speaker, executive leadership coach, and published author Ramsey J. Jr. as he reveals his three P's: possible, probable, predictable, a one-of-a-kind process-driven methodology which provides a blueprint focused on how to master the process to achieve your personal and professional goals. Hashtag Empowering Dreamers to ask him your questions and join in the conversation.
Good evening and keep dreaming, friends. Nothing short of an honor to greet you with such a defined message of hope and inspiration like this. Keep dreaming. This is Ramsey J. Jr., blessed to be back in the pilot seat tonight and serve as your host for the most empowering 15 minutes on radio, properly known as Empowering Dreamers segment on the Sade Champagne Show. The last couple of episodes, I provided comments about why this is the most empowering 15 minutes on radio, and I want to recap. It is because this simulcast provides you with a process based on a sequential methodology, which is underwritten by the blueprint that I've created and authored in my book, Empowering Dreamers to Become Achievers, after more than three decades of studying achievement and dream realization. But tonight, I want to level set this thing and make sure we understand the magnitude of this empowerment pursuit by defining the term empowerment. Empowerment, friends, is defined as giving official authority or to promote self-actualization. Self-actualization is defined as the realization or fulfillment of one's talent and potentialities. So when you put those two terms together, if you or your organization answer yes to the following question, this 15-minute simulcast must be in your toolkit. Do you desire to have the official authority to realize the absolute maximum of your talent and potential, aka, are you serious about transitioning from dreaming to achieving? If you answer yes, this is the most empowering 15 minutes on radio, Empowering Dreamers on the Sade Champagne Show, and I, as your host, Ramsey J. Jr., am encouraging you to stick along and stick around. We want you to use the hashtag Empowering Dreamers. If you hear something that empowers you, share it and empower someone else. And you can tag me at Ramsey J. Jr. is my handle on all social media. And if you want more resources, you want the book, videos, more training and teaching that we do on empowerment, contact me online at RamseyJ.com. Let's begin tonight's show. We begin every show with a shot of wisdom to get your mind in the empowerment frame of reference. Tonight's is the following. According to StatisticBrain.com, of the 45 million Americans who took their New Year's resolution survey, only 8% keep them. What about the other 92%, friends? What about them? Question, is that what we deserve? It begs the question. What do you deserve based on your preparation? We rarely ask what we deserve and as a result are reluctant to aggressively pursue our dream when a breakthrough opportunity presents itself. What do you deserve, friends, from your future as a result of your years of preparation behind the scenes? Answer that question and you will also discover the self-confidence to say yes when a breakthrough opportunity comes knocking. You hear that? Friends, that's your breakthrough opportunity knocking. And tonight, I am so excited to encourage you to get prepared so you can boldly walk through that door to the next level of realizing your dream. That's our shot of wisdom. And this is Ramsey J. Jr., and you are listening to Empowering Dreamers, the most empowering 15 minutes on radio on the Sade Champagne Show. Moving into our body of the show, which focuses on our 3P empowerment methodology. Number one, the first P is possible, the second P is probable, and tonight our third P in focus is predictable. Go back and listen to past episodes, but a quick recap. Number one, you've got to believe that it is possible. Believe possible, our first P. You've got to two, work extraordinarily hard to make it probable. Work extraordinarily hard to make it probable. Our second episode, listen to that tape, it'll help you. And tonight, in vogue and in play, is preparing for the predictable opportunity for a breakthrough before it finds you. We like to give you two dimensions of a practical example of that tenet in action. Tonight, let's go back to Thailand and revisit the miracle-saving 13 lives, the 12 athletes, the young soccer players of the Wild Boar soccer team, and their assistant coach, who went exploring into the cave, ultimately to be trapped 9 days before the miracle rescue that the entire world cheered for just recently. But I want to take a unique lens and look at three distinct things that I learned and I think teach us about preparing for breakthrough opportunities. Did you know that Coach Aki is a former monk who taught meditation techniques to help the boys stay calm and use as little air as possible and told them to lie still to conserve their strength? Think about it. Locked in a cave, 9 days, no food, no water, 12 boys, you have to conserve air, you have to conserve energy, you have to be still, you have to be calm. Meditation was a critical tool in that happening. But what if Coach Aki wasn't prepared to teach meditation before he would have to teach meditation to save 12 lives? Think about that. Number two. John Ballantyne and Rick Stanton were the two British cave divers who found the boys the first time there was sign of life. But what would I tell you if I told you to tell me that it wasn't their scuba greatness that ultimately led to the identification? It helped them find them, but ultimate identification came from their sense of smell. I quote, those two British divers said, "We smelled the children before we actually saw the children." They would bubble up to find air pockets to get air, kind of try to recover. And when they did, they would smell odor differential that suggested sign of life a certain direction or another direction. What if they weren't prepared to use all of their senses? They might not be able to sense through the sense of smell which direction to continue diving to find the boys. Think about that. And number three, did you know the rescue operation was actually set up 9 consecutive days before there was any sign of life because everybody knew the monsoon rain was coming soon a week or so after and there wouldn't be time to erect a full rescue operation if they waited until they knew there was life to rescue. So the entire rescue operation was built on faith of believing that any day, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, there might be sign of life. But if we wait until we have sign of life to then say, okay, everybody bring in the rescue equipment, we won't have enough time to get it all in before the next monsoon rain comes and be able to get the boys out. What if they waited to prepare to rescue the boys until they actually heard the boys were alive to be rescued? I don't know, friends. I have a feeling if they would have waited to say, let's put the rescue operation in order when we see them, we might not be talking this. I don't know that John and Rick, the divers, would have waited until they said, oh, what if we try to smell later? I don't know that they would have been able to smell soon enough the odor differential to find the boys before it was too late. They had to be prepared to use that sense of smell instantly. And what if Coach Aki wasn't prepared to teach meditation in the cave before it was time to teach meditation in the cave? God only knows what the outcome would have been, but I think we might be thinking about a different ending to what has become the miracle story of 2018. Think about that. Our second practical example, I want to take you back to my grad school experience in the year 2005 at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth College. I went down to a local print shop and had a business card made, and the business card had my name on it, Ramsey J. Jr., and underneath it, it had the title Professional Speaker and Author. Friends, in full disclosure, in 2005, I had given zero professional speeches, and friends, in 2005, I had not authored any book. You can buy my book now online at my website, RamseyJJr.com, and that book is Empowering Dreamers to Become Achievers. But in 2005, I had written zero books, and I had given zero professional speeches. Yet, I had 250 business cards that said, I am what I am, preparing for a predictable opportunity in faith. As fate would happen, the day I walked out with those 250 cards, someone walked in, said, how are you doing? Do you have a card? I looked at the person and said, I have 250 of them. How many would you like? The person looked at the card and said, oh, I didn't know you were a professional speaker. I said, and author, don't cheat me. He said, oh, I have an event coming up. I need a speaker to give a speech to some kids. I showed up. I gave a speech. There were 30 or 40 people there that thought I did a great job. They asked me if I had a card. I said, I have 249 of them, but I'm going to be big in this business one day, so you better get me now. You may not get me forever. Now, I hope you're smiling and enjoying the story, but also understand the truth of what I'm doing, preparing for my breakthrough. Fast forward, if I made it 2016 or 11 years later, I'm at the White House, the East Room of the White House, getting ready to bring remarks in front of the President and the First Lady, the Smithsonian, and other dignitaries in the room or the adjacent room at the White House. Now, I did not get a chance to prepare and prepare at the White House because of all the A-list celebrities they had. They ultimately monopolized the rehearsal time. So as a speaker, I didn't get a chance to speak. The night I was there to bring remarks to honor the life and legacy of Ray Charles at this music celebratory concert and talk about his philanthropic legacy, trust me, what you don't want to do is not practice at the White House. But you know what? I didn't have a choice. I had to trust that I had been preparing for this breakthrough opportunity, in this case, 11 years before that red light went off. And because I didn't get a chance to use the prompter in practice, I didn't feel comfortable using it, so I decided not to. Friends, I gave that speech without using the prompter, and I didn't miss a beat. I'm not telling you this to brag or to boast. I'm telling you, the only way I could speak at the ultimate breakthrough opportunity at the White House was because I was prepared for it 11 years before the breakthrough opportunity came. Think about those two things, my White House story by the Dartmouth business card story and preparing for the predictable opportunity before it found me. This is Ramsey J. Jr., and you are listening to Empowering Dreamers, the most empowering 15 minutes on radio on the Sade Champagne Show. As we close, we want to make sure we give you your empowerment assignment. This is your chance to take this predictable principle and put it in your toolkit. Three things for you to do for homework. Number one, I want you to complete your belief and work declaration right here, right now. I want you to reflect on what your dream is. What do you believe is possible? Really go back and re-internalize that. And I want you to combine that reflection by reminding yourself of all of the work you've done to make it probable. So reflect on that dream you really, really believe in your heart. And now marry that with the work you've done to make it probable. And now, right here, make a decision at the end of this simulcast that you are going to take an affirmative action and make a major, bold move of faith forward to make that dream happen. Just make the declaration. Believe it, speak it, and say you're going to do it and make something happen right here, right now, and faithfully, boldly moving forward. That's your belief declaration. Number two, I want you to create a tangible preparation instrument. What is that? For me, it was that business card at Dartmouth. For you, it might be your version of that business card. It might be a website. It might be a new social media page or new social media handle. Here's the key. I want you to put the word future or next in front of that thing that you're going to believe you can do from that belief and work declaration. If you're going to be a doctor, your business card says future doctor. If you're going to be a lawyer, your card says next lawyer. If you're going to build a website that shows your political aspirations to be president, you're going to say next president, future president, and put a number out there. You're going to be number 50, president of the United States. I want you to begin to faithfully make a tangible extension of your breakthrough opportunity before it finds you. You put yourself out there to be found. Complete a tangible preparation instrument. And number 3, I want you to make 5 preparation contacts per week for the next month. 5 per week over 4 weeks in a month means 20 contacts. That means I want you to share that tangible preparation instrument that you made in point number 2 with at least 5 people over the next 4 weeks or 20 people in a month. Here are the 5 people. Listen closely. Number 1, someone above you. If you go to church, this is your pastor. If you have a job, this is your boss. If you're a student, this is your professor. If you're an athlete, this is your coach. Someone above you, share it. Number 2, someone next to you, aka a peer, someone in your sphere, a confidant, husband, this could be your wife, girlfriend, this could be your boyfriend, best friends, that works, sister and brother, close in age, that works. The key is someone that is a peer, confidant in your circle. Number 3, somebody who follows you as you are a leader. Parents, this could be your son or daughter. Share it with them. Teachers, share it with your student. Coach, share it with your athletes. Share it with somebody. Boss, this would be your subordinate. Somebody who follows you. Number 4 and 5, these are 2 individuals you don't know, but you know based on your research, it would be great for them to know who you are and what your dream is. Share it with someone above you, someone next to you, someone below you, and then 2 people you don't know. 5 people, 4 weeks, 20 people in a month. To recap, complete your belief and declaration statement, create your preparation instrument, and make 5 preparation contacts per week for the next month. That's your assignment. That is your empowerment plan. To recap where we've been, we learned we've got to prepare for the breakthrough opportunity before based on the work we put in. We learned from the wild boars and the Thailand rescue that you've got to prepare for these unique opportunities and it could ultimately lead to life-saving. And then from my story, you learned that it helped me become a great speaker and ultimately speak at the White House because I was prepared for 4. I had a chance to even know what was happening based on 11 years. And most importantly, tonight, you learned about your own ability to complete your belief and work declaration, your tangible preparation instrument, and make those 20 contacts. You, friends, are well on your way to becoming a dreamer turned into an achiever. Believe that it's possible. Work to make it probable. And tonight, prepare for the predictable opportunity. And I'll see you on our next episode where we're going to talk about using emotion and empowerment strategy to make sure you're more efficient and optimizing your ability to become a real achiever instead of just a dreamer. This is Ramsey J. Jr., and you've been listening to Empowering Dreamers on the Sade Champagne Show. And until next week, you keep on dreaming.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Our next segment of the night is Living with Fearless Joy. Join pastors, authors, and speakers Rick and Melissa Wood as they share tips and testimonies for living a life free from fear and full of joy. Hashtag Living with Fearless Joy to ask them questions and join in the conversation.
Hello, hello, everyone listening in to the Sade Champagne Show. This is Melissa and Rick Wood.
Whoop, whoop. What's up, everybody?
With the Living with Fearless Joy segment. And we're doing a teaching tonight that I'm going to call The Beauty of Grace. And it's just some points to think about regarding grace, regarding how beautiful grace is. You know, Rick and I, like a lot of listeners out there, and I even know Sade herself, had a season in our life where we had to kind of break out of some religious thinking and realize that grace is where everything is, and that's really what our life with God is about, is this amazing, powerful concept of grace. So I'm going to pass it over to Rick and let him dive in and just tell us maybe what grace is. And we'll give you guys some points tonight.
Hey, guys. Good to see you, quote unquote, again. Hope you're all doing well. Yeah, you know, people, we use the term grace a lot, and I think it's thrown around, and we think that grace is just looking the other way when something bad happens. And, you know, that's mercy. You know, you get pulled over by the police officer and he doesn't give you a ticket. That's mercy. That's not grace. You know, grace is this divine empowerment to live the life that Jesus purchased and lives for us and as us and through us. So this idea of grace is, it's, you know, like when somebody's full of grace, you talk about they move, the way they move, the way they act, the way they just carry themselves. It's just this ability to live the life that we were meant to live. And the beauty part of that is that Jesus is the one who makes all that possible without any effort of our own. We didn't accomplish any of it on of our own accord. It's a free gift. It's given to us. And so you live in it by believing that it's true, and it just begins to manifest and make itself come, you know, bear fruit in your life. That's the word, big fancy word I'm looking for. So, like, even in the Bible, you know, we see Jesus empowering other people. The Apostle Peter, you know, Simon Peter, his name means rock. He was renamed, and God used him to pioneer and start the first church as we know it, the first Christian, Jewish Christian church. Matthew, tax collector, he's the guy who would be the worst of the worst, kind of like our day and time. And he ends up writing one of the Gospels. You have Saul, who became Paul, who writes 2/3 of the New Testament, who killed and persecuted Christians before God literally knocked him off his ass when he was on his way to Damascus. And so you just see God constantly, that's grace, empowering, not counting people's sins or their history against them, but measuring them against the person of Jesus who eats all that up, sucks all that up, and just spits out this new man, this new woman. And that's what grace is just living in that awareness that we are this new creation, that we are this Jesus-human hybrid, and just resting in that. And it's not our own works that accomplish that. It's resting in the finished work of Jesus that he accomplished 2,000 years ago for us and as us.
So if we're saying that grace is empowerment to live the life that we're meant to live, that it's the empowerment that Jesus accomplished on our behalf, that it's not mercy, as Rick said, it tends to get mixed up with mercy, but grace is literally the divine ability flowing through God to us to live out our lives, then what does that look like? Like, what specifically do we mean when we say that? So we're just going to give you guys a few points tonight. The first one is that grace actually makes us righteous. Now, I know that in my old religious mindset, that one of the verses that people used to use to say that, you know, we're sorry sinners and we can't change and we need to repent, and we have to work really hard to be in right standing before God, was Romans 3:23, which says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what we tend to miss in this verse is that there is a verse that follows it, verse 24, which says, "And are justified by his grace as a gift." Now, in verse 23, it says, "All have sinned and fall short." But there's never any distinction when we move to verse 24 that says, "Oh, and some are justified, or a few are justified, or those who work really hard are justified, or those who repent are justified." It actually is the same all who have sinned that are justified by whose grace? By God's grace. And was it something we worked for? No, it says as a gift. So yes, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but thank God that we're justified, every single one of us, by his grace and as a gift. So it is grace itself that makes us righteous.
And what does that word even mean, righteous? Which is funny, you know, it's like God used the entire history to show that self-righteousness. In other words, self-right standing with God was useless and pointless and could not do what Jesus came to do as us and for us. And, you know, we're here to be loved on and be children of God. So not only does grace give us right standing, it gives us Jesus' standing. Grace is also, the second point here, is for everyone. It's not just for some. There's some teachings out there, and there's some, you know, traditions in the church, and some of those things really helped bring in Reformation to the church and help reform some of these older theologies and ideas. And one of those is kind of destructive as well, that grace was only for some people, not for everyone, that Jesus has died just for some people, not for everyone. Because actually the reformers understood that if Jesus died for everyone and as everyone, the implications of that would be far greater than they were willing to entertain. That means that there was no insiders and outsiders anymore. And this idea of having to pay and for and work off your sins and pay for and live a holy life, they thought that all of a sudden people would just be running around doing whatever they want. Well, I have news for you that people do that no matter whether they believe they're saved or not, whether they believe they're in or out. They still do whatever they want to do. So it was very destructive. As much good came from the Reformation, there was much destruction from that, this idea that there's limited atonement, there's limited, Jesus only paid for a few, it's limited, his grace is limited. That's not true. For Romans 5 says that, for if many died through one man's trespass. Now, when Paul uses the term many, obviously, he's not talking about just a few or many. He really literally means all. So if many died through one man's trespass, who's that one man? Adam. So Adam was the original man in the story of the Genesis and the creation who fell, quote unquote. He's the one who screwed it up for us, so we can blame him for eating that apple. But many. Who was included in Adam? It wasn't just many. Everyone will teach you. Everyone will say that everybody was included in Adam. When Adam messed up, all of human race was doomed. Nobody got out of it. So when Paul says, so for if many died through one man's trespass, he's literally saying, since if everybody was included in Adam's death, in Adam's disease, in Adam's rebellion, his sin, much more has the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus, abounded or covered for many. So it's the same many that were included in Adam is the same many that Jesus, his grace, covers and abounded for. So it's not like
and how much more?
Yeah, and how much more? So what's interesting is that most people put more faith in Adam than they do in Jesus. They put much more faith in Adam making them a sinner than Jesus making everyone a saint, whether they know it or not, whether they feel it or not, whether they believe it or not. And that is the radical message of grace, is that he didn't need your permission to die as you and for you, Jesus didn't. He didn't need your permission to be raised and seated at the right hand of the Father. He didn't need your position, your permission to include you in his work to make you righteous. Guess what? You don't have any say over the matter, just like you didn't have any say over the matter about being included in Adam. So this idea that grace is limited, that atonement is just, honestly, it's hogwash. So grace is for everyone.
That's exactly what grace is, what Rick just described in that verse. Grace is literally the empowerment to be what we could not be without Jesus, to be included, to be redeemed, to be forgiven, to be new creations, to live in abundance. The fact that we were all included in what Jesus did is grace in and of itself. So I think, Rick, you actually want to talk about point three as well.
Yeah, so not only though there are no, grace doesn't leave anybody on the outside, it covers everybody. Grace also does, kind of connected to that point, is grace does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And what was that? It rescued us from the power of sin and death. What's interesting is in the ancient fathers, church fathers, the idea of being rescued from place called hell was very, very not found in our modern, the way we talk about it today. And that's a whole other podcast for a whole other series. But I will say this, overwhelmingly, the idea that we were being rescued was from the enemy, the hands of the devil, from the clutches of death. Those are what Jesus came to rescue us and redeem us from, not some post-mortem torture chamber, down the road. That came much later. So this idea is that Jesus came to do something we could not do for ourselves. We were caught. We were trapped. We were Paul says that we were enemies of to God in our own mind. We're God's enemies in our mind. We thought he was our enemy, that we were in the kingdom of darkness, and Jesus conveyed or transferred us to the kingdom of light. That we were hopeless, and we were bound by the lies and the destruction of the enemy, of evil, whatever, however you want to say it. But that's what we were rescued and redeemed from. We could not rescue ourselves in and of ourselves. We couldn't do it. We needed a compassionate Savior who was like us, who stood for us, as us, to come in and rescue us and represent us and be us and save us from. That's what it means to be saved, not from God, but from this life of destruction and evil. So 2 Corinthians says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." This idea of this exchange, that Jesus exchanged himself, he was the ransom to buy us back from the clutches of evil and darkness. And that's beautiful. If you've seen any C.S. Lewis or watched The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, The Chronicles of Narnia, this idea Aslan, he couldn't be kept down. That's Jesus' figure right there, where he dies for us and as us to deliver us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light.
And just to tie off of what Rick is saying, what he just says in point three, grace does for us what we could not do for ourselves. Point four is that grace means he is the one who does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. It's all him. He did it. Even to the point of after realizing what he did for us, there's this verse that we tackle in Philippians that I actually taught about a couple weeks ago in one of our podcast segments, is that work out your salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians 2. That's one of those verses where we try to put it back on ourselves and say, okay, yeah, Jesus saved me, and yeah, he forgave me and all that, but then I've got to work out my own salvation.
Got to get to work.
Somehow we want to work again. We want to bring our own effort into the equation again. But in this verse, what that is actually saying, that word work in verse 12 is the word katergazomai, which is like to perform or to achieve. And then if you go on to verse 13, it says, "For it is God who works in you." So, and that verse, that word work is energio, which is like power and force and actual work. So what Philippians 2, 12 and 13 is really saying is perform your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's actually God who does the work. So even in our salvation, even in the working out of our salvation, meaning the actualization of what Jesus did for us, the coming into this abundant life, even the understanding and awakening to all of that is something that God does in it. And if we try to achieve it ourselves, then we should have some fear and trembling, because it's actually only God who can do the work. So grace means that he does it, and our effort never becomes part of the equation. A chain can only be as strong as the weakest link. And if that chain is contingent upon me, then that chain is not very strong. I want God to be the beginning, the middle, and the end of that chain in my life.
So that leads us to the last point. Is that
a strong chain?
Yeah, a strong chain. You know, the idea here, grace is stronger in our weakness. And now that used to be like floated around. Is that flotted around back in the day, you know, and kind of like excuse some kind of behavior, you know. Oh, yeah, you know, grace is stronger in my weakness. I'm going to go do 12 lines of coke or whatever. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So the idea here, when we say grace is stronger in our weakness, what we're saying is I don't add anything to the salvation equation here, this grace equation, that it is, the chain is only as strong as its weakest link, and if I add anything to it, it's going to break, it's going to snap. And so, this idea that when we say that, we're not excusing immoral and saying you can just act immorally. What we're saying is that we will boast in our weakness, that Jesus is the one who accomplished it as us, for us, and by us. Right. Paul says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." He's quoting Jesus saying that to Paul. So when we're quote unquote weak, what that really means is we're not standing on our own feet. We're not standing on our own merits. We're not, like before, to make ourselves justified or righteous or holy or any of those things. We're not standing and saying, yeah, look what I did. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and I got myself rescued from the kingdom of darkness. I freed myself from the devil. No, we're saying, like, I can't do, like, Jesus is the one. I'm weak because he is strong. He's the one who is in me. In fact, I use this again. It's the faith of Christ that's in me that gives me any strength. If I have my own faith or my own strength, then it's only bound to fail. And so I can only stay weak. I've got to stay, if you will, I've got to stay dependent upon the faith of Christ in me, because I know that my faith's not going to get me very far. I need his faith. So, Melissa?
Yeah, you know, as we're wrapping up these 5 points that we gave you, and we'll recap them before we close, I just want to say, you know, that over and over again we've talked about it's God, it's God, it's God, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's not us, it's not us. But none of this is to say that we are not important or we're not part of the relationship.
Absolutely.
That we're not engaged in this life. In fact, when we come to a place that we understand that Jesus accomplished everything on our behalf, it is only from that place that we can live fully and powerfully like we were destined to live. And that's really what grace is. It is because of what Jesus did, there is a divine ability to live righteously, to live fruitfully, to live abundantly. So this whole concept of grace is just exciting. And so we're just going to recap for you real quickly of these 5 things that we mentioned tonight in the beauty of grace. Number 1, grace makes us righteous. Number 2, grace is for everyone, not just some. Number 3, grace does for us what we could not do for ourselves. Number 4, grace means that he does it. He did it. And number 5, grace is strong in our weakness. You want to close us off, Rick?
I'm good. That's great. You did awesome.
Do you feel empowered by grace?
I feel so empowered.
So if you ever want to catch up with me and Rick, you can find us both on social media. Rick is at Rick C, the letter C, Wood, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And I am at Melissa Joy Wood on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can always catch us for the next segment of the Sade Champagne Show. We're so excited to have been here with you guys this evening. Have an excellent, excellent night.
Peace out, Boy Scouts. Love you guys.
Do you or your organization have dreams and aspirations of going to the next level? In need of a proven process that will both motivate and empower you to activate transformational strategies? If you answered yes, contact me, Ramsey J. Jr. at RamseyJJr.com. My strategic communication consultancy leverages my Wall Street financial executive experiences to deliver my 3P process mastery methodology, possible, probable, predictable. As author of the book, Empowering Dreamers to Become Achievers, we deliver solutions as a strategic communication consultant and trainer, executive leadership coach, and international keynote motivational speaker, MC, and interviewer. And with a robust client list from C-suite corporate executives to youth seeking a blueprint to become tomorrow's rising stars, we know how to empower you, the dreamer, to become an achiever. Contact us at RamseyJJr.com.
The Living with Fearless Joy segment on the Sade Champagne Radio Show features Rick and Melissa Wood, who run a ministry called Fearless Joy Ministries. Rick and Melissa have a passion to see people free from religion, free from fear, and living lives full of freedom and full of joy. Melissa has authored a book titled Eliminating Fear, how removing the fear of God leads to removing fear in life. If you would like to book Rick and Melissa for any speaking engagements, conferences, or to talk about eliminating fear, you can reach them at the website eliminatingfear.com. Just make sure to go to the Contact Us page where you can get more information and you can communicate with them personally.
You can find Melissa at Melissa Joy Wood at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can find Rick at Rick C. Wood at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And right here on Grind Hard Radio on the Sade Champagne Show.
Time for a song break. Here is Britt Nicole with Through Your Eyes. Keep listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio.
Get it together. That's what I say to me. I put on the pressure. You could do better. Be who you're supposed to be. But that's when you came in, right when I needed you. You said all of the things that I was believing, not one of them were true. You lifted my head up, I was keeping my head down. I didn't know love, but I do now. 'Cause you should have lied, and then you both surprised the lies. You told me I had something beautiful inside.
For a dynamic musical artist, performer, host, or inspirational speaker for your next event? What about a mentor, vocal instructor, or workshop leader for your school, company, or seminar? Contact Sade Champagne for countless professional services that are sure to fit your particular need. She is an in-demand, award-winning, and critically acclaimed musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur who is invited all around the world. She is known for having a powerful voice, turning ideas into action, creating, directing, and executive producing popular charitable and inspirational events, and bringing out the gold in others. Her services are for all ages, backgrounds, and environments. Contact Sade Champagne at SadeChampagneMusic@gmail.com. That's SadeChampagneMusic@gmail.com to book her for your next event or project.
Hi, it's Evan Carmichael, and you're listening to Sade Champagne on Grind Hard Radio. I love it. I love your energy and the questions, and keep going at it. I think you got a nice show on your hands here. So everybody listening, go type in Sade Champagne Show into iTunes and give it a 5-star review.
Welcome back to episode 69 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. I want to share with you guys what I've been meditating on and learning recently. I've been learning a lot about patience. Patience, patience, patience. And I know in our society, it is not a very exciting word for many people. Even though a lot of people were inspired by talk about patience all the time, we are constantly inundated with messages and images telling us that we need to hurry up and get things now. Life's about to be over. We need to rush. And so I feel like a lot of us have been running around like chickens with our heads cut off, even if that. Like on a rat race, and where we just feel exhausted. And I've been learning, what does patience look like for me? What does it look like for me to really just embrace this moment and understand that life is a process, that things and dreams are a process, and I'm really not on anybody's timetable except for my own and except for God's. We're on the same timetable. Well, we're trying to get on the same timetable. But, you know, I don't have to live my life from this pressure and this anxiety for everything to happen today. You know, I've been seeing a lot of change and transformation happen in my life. But as I'm being honest, some things have been stalled for a very long time. And so it's not like things have just been happening out of nowhere. These are things that have been building and that have been slow churning and cooking and marinating over time. And I'm actually really thankful for that. You know, and I've been learning a lot about baby steps. And as you all know, if you've been listening to me for any amount of time, you know that I'm a huge advocate for baby steps. Baby steps are very valuable and important. Instead of feeling overwhelmed and feeling exhausted or drained by all the things that we have to do or our dreams or even anything where you feel like you have such big ideas and you're like, oh my God, where do I start? You start with today. Everything happens one day at a time, sometimes one moment at a time, 1 hour at a time. What do you have in your hands today? What do I have in my hands today? What are my resources right now? And I find that I'm so much more solutions oriented instead of looking at situations as, you know, one-dimensional or two-dimensional. I'm able to start seeing the multi-dimension in all situations. And it's been super helpful. And these baby steps, I realize, make a very big impact in the long run and actually in the short term too, because that's the only way I can be able to build new habits and new healthier and productive ways of doing things is baby steps, baby steps. Celebrating the now and how far I've come. I used to live so much of my life in the future because the now seemed sucky. But as I really am enjoying the now in my life, I'm taking as much time as I can to really celebrate today and how far I've come. You know, my progress has been astronomical, and I'm so thankful. I'm grateful unto God. I'm grateful, you know, to see where my life has gone. And no, things may not look the same as everyone else, which is another thing I've been learning about, but I'm not comparing myself to other people. I am looking at my own journey. I'm looking at my own timeline, and I can be excited and satisfied in that while still moving forward, you know, and really embrace the progress, embrace how far I've come, and that really helps us to stay encouraged and stay motivated even during difficult times when it can be easy to be discouraged, but you understand, like, hey, I'm not doing bad. You know, I've come a long way. I've learned so much. I'm still here. After everything I've been through, I'm still here. I'm in my right mind. I have a great attitude. What more can I ask for than that? Also, not taking things and people so seriously. Oh, my goodness. I live so much of my life in my head, overanalyzing, overthinking, trying to put stuff together that is not even there. And I done created a whole story in my mind, and then I find out that that is not even what was happening and what was even in the thought of the person. And so I'm learning how to just not take stuff so seriously and people so seriously. You know, obviously, I want to enjoy them as they're in my life and partner together as we're able to and do fun things and exciting things as we're able to, but it may not always look like that. And people may not always talk the way that I would like them to or respond the way I'd want them to. Or it's just not always going to be like that. And people may not always follow through. I know I've had trouble in my life with following through sometimes. And so I just
want to give them grace and not take things so seriously and get so offended by everything that we're seeing in the news and that people are pushing down our throats, but just be able to think clearly and not allow myself to have to get so worked up about everything and so bothered all the time without even knowing the full story. And lastly, letting go of all that drains me and depletes me. Letting go of all that drains me and depletes me. I used to hang on so tight for dear life as if that was the end. And you actually find that life begins when you learn how to let go. And the things that we actually need to hold on to, we let go so easily. And the things we need to let go of, we hold on as if that's the end. As I've been learning what it looks like to let go of things that drain and deplete me, it's brought me so much more energy and so much more strength. I have more peace. It's not always easy, you know, being able to say let go or to pull back. But my peace of mind, my joy, my sanity are utmost important at the end of the day. You know, and I don't control people. I don't, you know, they're not projects meant to be fixed. And I just don't want to live my life controlling, but I want to live my life, you know, discipline and self-control and at peace. And self-control doesn't mean from fear or mean rigid, you know, but I believe it can be something that's relaxing and that it's from the overflow and peace of my heart, even in the challenging times. So I hope that encouraged someone. I know I feel encouraged. If nobody's encouraged by this, I'm encouraged by it. But if you've been dealing with any, you know, challenges, or you have been feeling discouraged, or if these are lessons that you've been learning in your life, let me know. I'd love to talk to you guys about it. You know how to reach me on my social media. And thanks for listening. Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight to episode 69 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, and sharing my radio show. Next week, we have a special love and relationships episode with YouTubers Shay and Trav. We also have a brand new Mind Right, Game Tight segment with Michelle Morgan, a new Wellness Made Simple segment with Veronica Esquivel Winters, and a new Artist Spotlight segment. Thanks to my castmates, Rick and Melissa Joy Wood and Ramsey J. Jr. I'm Sade Champagne, and thanks for listening to my radio show. I don't ever take your support for granted. We'll see you next Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time right here on Grindhard Radio. Releasing the stress, we were born to shine.